Abraham did that, didn't he, when he sacrificed Isaac? And he said, I'm willing to give my son however you wish. Don't you think there was a new song that arose when God says, stop. Now, Abraham, I know that your heart is fully mine. Take that ram that's caught there in the thicket and offer that one as a burnt offering. But take your son Isaac and receive him back. Don't you think there was a new song there? It wasn't Abraham's song. It was a song of the Lord.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero. Today, we flash back a few years to a time when Pastor Wayne was going through some deep waters. He had been diagnosed with cancer, and there were a lot of uncertainties in his world. We'll see how he wrestled with them, but how ultimately God gave him a new song, even in the dark midnight hours. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, A New Song.
Today, I want to talk to you about how God, as Job says, gives us songs in the night. David says that God gives us a new song even when we are at a dead end. In fact, Psalm 40, verses 1 through 3 says it this way. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. And he has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear and shall trust in the Lord. Today, I want to talk to you about a new song. We all have favorite songs, don't we? Romantic people have favorite love songs. I guess unromantic people, I don't know, maybe polkas, but not sure. But we all have favorite songs and genres of songs. Today, I want to talk to you about a new song. It doesn't come from the radio, a playlist, a concert, a CD, a party. No, it comes at the tail end of seasons of pain, dark nights. David is telling us about a new song, but only after he found himself in a horrible pit when he was stuck in deep, mucky, miry clay. Ever been there? No end in sight. No hope left, and everything seems to have either caved in or let you down. And you're left wondering why. David felt like that. David cries to God for help, but God's help is about to come in smaller portions than David was expecting. Let me explain it in this way. Some time ago, I was wanting to learn to lift weights correctly, so I hired a coach to give me help. Well, he put some poundage on me and I laid on the bench. It was about, maybe 180 pounds or so. And so he said, now we're going to start building some muscle. And so I would lift it 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 times. And he said, now we're going for 15. I thought, you should have told me this in the beginning. I would have reserved some of my strength for the last 5 because now I'm shaking and gyrating trying to get that weight up. The bar just seemed way too heavy until I finally broke my pride down. I said, I need help. The coach who was standing above me reached down with 2 fingers, not 2 hands, 2 fingers, gave me about 5 pounds of help. He said, now push, push, push. And I got it up and he said, now a few more. And he brought it down again and another 2-finger help. And I'm thinking, why don't you just lift that thing up? You're the trainer. He didn't give me much help, 5 pounds. And then he kept yelling at me. Now, he said, now you're building muscle. Now. And I was thinking, what do you think I've been doing the last 12 or 13 reps? He said, now you're building muscle. Finally, when it was done, he said, you see, the first 10 reps or so, you're just pushing with your strength and it's not really doing anything to your muscles. But after about 11 or 12 reps, when you are at a point of fatigue, your muscles are actually breaking down. And when they are built back up or repaired, it will be repaired with newer, fresher, bigger muscle strength and tissue. But I wondered, I said, why did you just give me like 2 fingers of help? Why didn't you just lift the bar? He said, then you wouldn't have built strength. You see, we'll do this together, But if I did it for you, you would be in the same place next week or next month or next year. We've got to get you to build muscle. And I was thinking about that. Faith is like that, isn't it? Faith is a muscle that has to be built. Because the amount of faith you had when you came to Christ was wonderful, but you're going to need a whole lot more for the stuff you're facing. Maybe the things you're going through right now. And sometimes we often get mad at God for giving us only 5 pounds of help. But he's not going to lift the whole thing. Otherwise, we'll never grow in our faith. We'll never be able to increase. But he will help us to make it through. And all along, he's praying, as he did for Peter, that our faith not fail. Because it's faith that he's wanting to build. You know, recently I was reading in our devotions from John 18. By the way, let me encourage you, just as a sidebar, to stay faithful in your daily devotions, because God speaks so clearly about his will and direction through your devotions. Well, it was at the week of his suffering, when Jesus was facing the cross, and just prior to him bearing the cross at Calvary, he was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying, sweating drops of blood. This whole entourage about to come to arrest him was incited by Judas Iscariot, organized by Pilate. And a cohort of Roman soldiers came to arrest Jesus. Do you remember that? Now, Peter, who was one of the disciples on the side, realized what was happening. Well, he grabbed a sword and he swung with all of his might, barely missing a servant named Malchus. Took his ear off, but I really don't think he was aiming for his ear. I think he was aiming for his head. You got to remember, Peter was a fisherman, not a soldier. So his aim was probably better with a throw net than it was with swords. Well, when the missing ear had been replaced, Jesus says, in John 18, 11. Read this with me. Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into its sheath. Shall I not drink the cup that the Father has given me?" That last line really caught my heart by surprise. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given? As you know, recently I was asked to bear quite a grave assignment when I was diagnosed with cancer. And you see, when I received the news, like any human being would, I wrestled with this for several days and nights, very sleepless nights. Questions like, had it metastasized? Will I need surgery, then follow it by radiation or maybe chemo? Will I survive it all? Will it change my life radically from this point on? So many what ifs flooded my mind. But then one morning, for my devotions, I read this phrase. Jesus said, "Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me?" Sooner or later, you and me, all of us, will come to the stark confrontation that takes us from the doctrine of our faith to the reality of our faith. Because we can talk a lot about faith, but sooner or later, we come face to face with the reality of it. When it's happening to you. Now, the Father may ask you, me, to walk through some very difficult assignments, even as he did Jesus. And often, you know, isn't it true? It's always easier to preach the cross than it is to carry it. But sooner or later, in your faith and mine, it's carry time, not talk. I think about it this way. You know, the line, like you line up for Black Friday sales or whatever, the line to receive God's blessings is a long line. People are crowding in to get into the blessings line. We all want those. But the line to receive his sufferings, very short. Even though that line results in greater redemption, maybe a greater depth of a relationship that no party favor or raffle present could ever offer. No blessing could ever offer this. But Jesus knew that your redemption and mine would not be possible if he stood only in the bless me now line. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given me? We've read about others who were given pretty tough assignments, and none more specific than Job. I remember when he was suffering with such great pain, even his wife said to Job, why don't you just curse God and die? Quite a wife he married. But look at his response in Job 2 and verse 10 in the New King James. Read it with me, would you? Go. But he said to her, you speak as one of the foolish women speaks. Shall we indeed accept good from God, and shall we not accept adversity? In all of this, Job did not sin with his lips. Some of you in this season may have been given a pretty hard task, caring for an invalid or aging parent or child, picking up the pieces of your life after losing a loved one and trying to make your tomorrows count for eternity, even though your heart is still healing, living with a physical setback or working through a financial collapse and needing to start all over again, or a marriage that had failed, or plans that were all set for a marriage, but for some reason the Lord had different plans and it's hard to accept. Some of us have been given a pretty difficult cup to drink. Shall I not drink the cup which the Father has given to me? You know, I realized that I had to accept the diagnosis and he would see me through. Oh, he wouldn't take it necessarily fully from me. I still had to lift the weight, but he'd give me the 5 pounds necessary so that I could. He wouldn't let it squash me. He's not going to let it injure me. He'll help me lift it. But he's not going to take away my assignment. He's going to be there with 5 pounds. And I came to the realization that I get to drink the cup that the Father has given me. Let me ask you, what cup has he given to you to drink? It's not always going to be sweetened iced tea. But like Jesus, he says, even though it might be bitter, shall I not drink the cup? He's going to help you through. And sometimes with just 5 pounds, not 180, five. But you'll make it through so that your faith will grow. But now, talking about a new song the Lord gave me, let me tell you about that. It won't be a song that I made up. It's not going to be a song I composed or wrote. The new song that I want to tell you about was a song that I heard, one that he would give to me, and it would only come after I gave myself fully to him. When I gave myself fully to his purposes, not to my expectations, but to his purposes, and said, Wayne, shall I not drink the cup the Lord has given to me? A new song began. You see, in the Old Testament, we find several kinds of sacrifices, five actually. There were grain offerings, peace offerings, sin offerings, guilt offerings. But in Leviticus, we find the burnt offering. This is an offering which is fully given to God. Now, others, a peace offering or these others, when you're done, you can kind of sit after you offer the lamb and whatever, and you wave. You can have a feast on the lamb chops, or you can make, after the grain offering, you can make grain biscuits. But in the burnt offering, you take nothing away. It is fully sacrificed. No leftovers, no doggy bags. It's all his. There's going to be times when God asks you to do something and there's a reward at the end of the ask, a prize, a blessing. But in the burnt offering, there's no guarantees. This is the joy of you having given your all. Not many are going to sign up for this one. But I think that's why sometimes God has to sort of just spring it on you. like surprise. The only choice you have is to accept it or reject it. Receive it or decline it. To say no or say, shall I not drink of the cup which the Father has given me? You can't pick and choose some of the assignments you're going to be given. I remember the story of a flight attendant on a budget airline. There was a passenger sitting there and she came through with some breakfast boxes and she said, would you like some breakfast? And the passenger asked, well, what are my options? She looked at him and said, yes or no. And I think that's kind of like sometimes when God gives us an assignment. Like, what are the options? Yes or no. But when you say yes, and you give him your all, and say, I'm okay, Lord, In 2 Chronicles 29, here's the answer. King Hezekiah came to rule. And although we don't know much about his lineage, we do know that Israel was in total disarray at that time. The people of Israel would be banished under the Assyrian captivity, and Judah was about to be banished themselves, not far behind, to the Babylonians. The song of the people at that time can be coined in one word, lament. When Judah would be taken into captivity, we would have left for us the Book of Lamentations. It's like the people had lost their song. There's no singing, no celebration. They had lost the song, like a bird that lost its song or a flute that's lost its melody. So it was with the people of Israel. You ever been there? When you lost your song? I mean, you're still doing everything you're supposed to do, but there's no song. There's no lilt in your step. That's what was happening in Israel. I mean, they were still the people of God, but there was no song. And in this era, when King Hezekiah was king, he came to rule, and the temple was in disrepair. And although the people praised God with their lips, Isaiah would tell us that their hearts were not close to God. Hezekiah, however, set his heart to change that. As soon as he became king, he repaired the temple. He reinstituted the sacrifices and began to honor God with all of his heart. Nothing would be too big for him to do for the Lord. God was worthy of everything he had, and he came to God with no holds barred. They had sung all the hymns. They had voiced all the pledges. But it wasn't until this happened. It wasn't until the burnt offerings started that something happened. The King James Version says it best. Let's read it together. And Hezekiah commanded to offer the burnt offerings upon the altar. And when the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also began. I love that. Did you catch that? When the burnt offering began, the song of the Lord also arose and began. There's going to be times in your life and mine when we need a new song. When the storms hit, we need a new song, because our song seems to have been lost. It gets taken away. But the song that God gives, it doesn't come from a labored composition or from an arduous night of straining. It comes from us being willing to say, shall I not drink of the cup which the Father has given me? It comes from a heart that is offered as a burnt offering. Abraham did that, didn't he, when he sacrificed Isaac? And he said, I'm willing to give my son however you wish. Don't you think there was a new song that arose when God says, stop. Now, Abraham, I know that your heart is fully mine. Take that ram that's caught there in the thicket and offer that one as a burnt offering. But take your son Isaac and receive him back. Don't you think there was a new song there? It wasn't Abraham's song. It was a song of the Lord. We've been serving God joyfully at New Hope for 23 years. But if you think of it, those years have not always been made up of mountaintop experiences or crowded bless me lines. If we were to be true and honest and unpretentious about our devotion to Jesus, authentic in our walk, we have to realize and be true to say those wonderful years that have gone before us, they included times when we would say with conviction, those were tough times. Garden of Gethsemane times. But I think the song comes when we say, shall I not drink of the cup which the Father has given me? I sometimes think that if we played all our cards right, New Hope Oahu could have been one of the largest churches in the nation with the biggest cathedral in the Pacific. But for some reason, God asked us to sacrifice our big church for church plants, 152, many of them being in the Pacific Asian region, to unselfishly give. And even when others would taunt us about not keeping our money and building for ourselves a big temple, we said, no, Jesus did not ask us to build big churches and big buildings. He asked us to build big people. And that's what we have done. We have decided to drink the cup which the Father has given to us in big ways and even in our own lives, small ways. And on this 23rd anniversary, I again renew that commitment to Christ with you, that we're good to go and we stand on the Word of God, and our ultimate written guide is the Scriptures. And we're going to continue training up young leaders, even as we are right now at New Hope Christian College. You're about to see a short video as we close about just last week in devotions. Just look at the many of our new students learning to prioritize the Word as they speak the Bible Creed. Take a look at this.
This is my Bible, the Word of God, and I boldly declare that this is the highest law in the land. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. I do what it says I do, for I am a citizen of heaven.
That is still our declaration. And that's still who we are. There's a new song beginning. It's a powerful song, but it doesn't come from a party. It's not a song that comes from a halftime cheer. No, it's the song of the Lord that we can sing even in the middle of the desert, because it's a song of the Lord. And there's no greater, more powerful melody than that. Continue to be a burnt offering unto God and watch what He can do in the future. Happy anniversary, New Hope. I love each and every single one of you. And let's continue to serve Jesus until He comes, for we are greater together. We will serve Him till the end. God bless you.
A message from a few years back entitled A New Song by Pastor Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. And thankfully, God spared his life from cancer and has given Pastor Wayne a new song. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, God bless you and aloha.